Hello and welcome. Thank you for listening. My name is Sarah Baumert. I am a yoga teacher, Feldenkrais practitioner, and host of the Sarah B. Yoga podcast. The Sarah B. Yoga podcast and my practice, Body Matter, is an interdisciplinary learning space where we explore the many ways that movement can help facilitate body acceptance and awareness, reduce pain and stress, regulate the nervous system, and build strength and ease. My teaching plays with the synthesis of Feldenkrais awareness through movement lessons, traditional yoga asana, creative imagery, breathing exercises, self-massage, and a compassionate mindset to help you feel a greater sense of ease and comfort in yourself. Sarah B. Yoga and Body Matter have a lot of other program offerings. These podcasts are just a taste of my teaching. Each week, I teach a range of online classes, including a gentle yoga class, a level 2 class for more advanced students, and Feldenkrais classes with monthly themes, anatomy lessons, and Q&A sessions for more in-depth study. I have 2 new courses starting at the end of February. One is my continued Monday night blending of yoga and Feldenkrais class. This series will have a focus on the pelvic floor, the psoas, and the abdominal complex. Each class will use pelvic floor mapping as an entry point for a well-rounded practice. The second course is The Secret Language of the Arms, where we will explore Feldenkrais lessons that offer the hidden potential within the upper body. You might imagine this scenario. You go to just grab your phone and check on something, and before you know it, that kind of gripping action of your hands, of holding the phone, starts to create a tension that travels up your arms, to your neck, to your jaw, to your chest. You might even realize that you've been holding your breath and you're somewhat lost in this digital world as your body braces. And for what, really? We've all been there, uncomfortable with the tension that comes from our technology, where the strain travels from our fingertips up through our arms, into our shoulders, our chest, even to our foreheads. And none of us are immune to these kinds of modern day scenarios. So in this series, The Secret Language of the Arms, each lesson will include 2 components. We'll move from microcosm to macrocosm and connect the dots along the way. So you can think microcosm, an exploration of the articulation and functional coordination of the smaller joints, like the fingers, the wrists, the elbows. And then we'll expand outwards, discovering how your arms integrate with the whole self, feeling the way your spine, your ribs, even your legs and your feet, how they contribute to the harmony of the movement of your arms. No Feldenkrais lesson is complete without an integration of the whole self. While there will be this focus on the upper extremities, these will be whole body lessons. You can find a link for these 2 new spring courses that start at the very end of February, beginning of March. Find all of that in the show notes, or just visit body-matter.com. I hope to see some of you there. Okay, on to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to episode 59 of the Sarah B. Yoga Podcasts. I'm Sarah Baumert, your host and teacher. I teach a slow, alignment-based yoga practice influenced by my training in the Feldenkrais Method. Today, I'm coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the title of today's class is Shaping the Breath for a Happier Back. It's a level 1-2 class, and we'll begin with breath work, exploring a few of the many different ways that the diaphragm can shape the torso and support the spine. There's a bit of a focus in this class on recovering or regaining the natural lumbar curve that for many of us has disappeared if you sit a lot or if you've been traveling a lot or if that's just some habitual things in your life have created a slight flexion in your low back. Tight hamstrings could be one of those things. We'll also do a number of external rotation practices for the arms, which will help reverse the forward-leaning shoulders and tight chest, which are the effects of holding your phone and looking down a lot. So it'll be a good one. You will need two blankets, two blocks, and a loopable strap. And we will make a double blanket roll or a cylinder as a bolster. We'll use the loop strap around the forearms, and the two blocks we will stack one on top of the other to place your front foot onto during Anjane Asana low lunge. For my schedule of live online classes on Zoom, and I also have some self-paced yoga and Feldenkrais courses that include video, you can find more about those over at my website, body-matter.com. And as always, I hope you are enjoying these podcasts and that they're helpful for you to maintain a home practice. If you do enjoy them, please consider leaving a review on iTunes, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, let's get started with class.
Okay, so grab your blankets. We're going to make a double blanket roll. And so that could look like different things depending on what you're using. I've got one blanket on top of the other. I'm going to roll up one and put that inside of the second. So we're just working with a slightly larger, thicker roll today. And that should be supportive. But for right now, you can set that aside. So you can have it at the ready. And then grab your strap. And make sure that you do have a loop in your strap. It can be really small at the end, but just make sure it's a loop that's working. And so it's taut so that when you make it a little bit bigger, you know, it'll stay taut. But you can keep it small for right now so it's at the end. You can put your strap up towards the top of your mat where your hands are going to be for down dog. You can put your blocks up there also. Okay, now that we've got our props organized, come down, lie on your back. Lie with your legs long, arms down. So Shavasana. Let your eyes close. Take a moment to empty before we begin. Feeling the sense of the floor holding you, supporting you. Sense the heavier parts of your body. That might correlate with the areas that are touching the floor. Start to notice the movement of your breath. Bring one hand to your abdomen and one hand to your chest. Some way that you can still have the arms feel restful, the elbows might still be able to drop to the floor. Taking a few rounds of a belly breath so that as you breathe in, the abdomen presses towards your hand. And this is in response to the diaphragm moving downward. Of course, the air is not coming into the belly. The air is coming into the lungs, and the diaphragm muscle presses towards the pelvis, creating this pressure and change of shape. So you inhale and feel the expansion in the low belly area. And then exhale whenever you need to. Notice the quality, the tone that you feel in your lower back. If this belly breath, does it feel supportive for your lower back? You can kind of think, even though the air is not moving into the belly, you can think of it as an inflation, a tubular pressure that can create support. And now I'm going to switch it on you. So when you breathe in, pull the belly in just a little bit so that on your inhale, the expansion is happening in your chest, where your hand, closer to where your hand is on your chest, behind your collarbones. And then you exhale when you need to. So again, the air is still coming into the lungs. But in order to create this shape of your torso, the diaphragm muscle no longer presses downward towards the pelvis, but it does almost more of a widening action. Exhaling when you need to. So you're doing this at a pace that's comfortable for you. You never feel like you need to gasp for breath or let the air out quickly. Exploring the ways that the diaphragm can work differently to create these different shapes. And this is happening all day long without you thinking about it, as you put your body in a different configuration, as you reach for something, as you bend over, there's these different pressures and the diaphragm adapts pretty spontaneously. So we're just bringing a bit more detail and conscious practice to this. Great. And now take a breath in and see if you can feel that both areas have some kind of expansion. So it's a little bit more evenly distributed, this sense of expansion. Good. Take your arms down, bring your legs together so that your legs are in neutral rotation and your inner thighs are touching, and flex your feet. And then take your arms overhead so that the backs of your hands meet the floor. And just notice what's happened with the back, your back of your ribs and the low back. Has there been any kind of lifting off the floor? So actually, take your arms back down alongside the body and bend your knees, stand your feet. And really tune into the imprint of the back of you on the floor. Notice the curve in your low back, if it's off the floor or on the floor. And notice the pressure behind your ribs. And now try not to change that. Take your arms up towards the ceiling. And slowly bring the arms overhead alongside the ears, maybe to the floor. Doing it slow enough that you can feel if there's a moment where your back shifts away from neutral. And if so, then pause and don't let the arms drop anymore. So we're looking for a movement in the mobility in the shoulder joint, less so the mobility in the ribs or the spine. Not that that's a bad thing. We're just right now looking for how can the shoulders move. Okay, take the arms back up and now rotate. So the arms are vertical. Rotate your arms so that your palms face the head side of your room. External rotation. With the arms rotated like that, Take the arms alongside the ears. Maybe the palms meet the floor. We're doing a lot of external rotation work with the arms. So this is just a little taste to see how this is. It might be harder to bring the hands to the floor. Maybe one hand meets the floor and the other hand, the pinky fingers off the floor. And so if your palms do meet the floor, can you press down? When we're in down dog, we're looking for this strong external rotation. Good. And bring the arms back up towards the ceiling and then all the way down alongside the body. And take a hold of the edges of your mat. So your arms are down, grab the edges of your mat and push the mat away from your head. So much so that you'll feel a little movement of your sacrum and you might feel that your lower back lengthens and flattens slightly towards the floor. And that might feel nice. Continue to push the mat away from the head. And then let go of that push. And do it a couple of times. Push the mat away from the head and then release. So you kind of bounce back, push and release. A little bit of a blop, 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 blop kind of a rhythm. Great. So you're kind of jostling, jiggling yourself towards the head and then letting go. All right. Okay. Let that go. Roll to your side so you can grab that big bolster that we made. And let's just take the bolster so that it's underneath your legs so you can lie back down. And you can have the sides of the hold onto the sides of the bolster with your hands, pick your pelvis up and place the pelvis on the bolster. And then take your right arm overhead. So the right palm is facing up. Your pelvis is on the bolster, just like the pelvis is on a block when we do supported bridge. And let your knees tilt to the left about 10, 15 degrees. It doesn't need to be a huge tilt to the left. Press your right foot into the floor and let your right thigh bone reach in the direction of your right knee so that you feel an elongation in the front of the right hip. The right butt might come off the floor and the right side of the low back can arch. And keep that sense of reach of the thigh. Notice what it's doing into the right ribs and the right side of your chest. Now, as you breathe in, remember the inhale breath where we were trying to expand only in the chest? So do that, but bring your attention to the right side of your chest. So you're breathing in and seeing if the right side of your chest can fill more than the left side of your chest. As if the air is moving into the armpits, between the ribs. And when you exhale, you can let go of that strong reach through the leg and any kind of reaching through the arm. So it can become a bit of a pulse with your breath. As you breathe in, your right thigh elongates in the direction of the knee. Focus on the air, expanding the right side of the chest and allow the right arm to get a little longer. That's right. So the knees are slightly tilted to the left. Right thigh and the right arm lengthen away from one another as you breathe in. And see if it's just possible. It might just be your attention or your imagination, this breathing into one side of the chest. Good. And bring your knees back to the center. Take your right arm down. Bring your left arm overhead. Just take a belly breath for a moment. That might feel good. Let your knees tilt to the right, about 15 degrees or so. Push the left foot into the floor and reach the left thigh in the direction of the knee, so much so that it starts to pick up the left side of the pelvis, and your pelvis tips even more to the right when you do that. And look for your inhale breath and see if you can expand into the left side of your chest, feeling what that does to your left arm, sense of lengthening of the left side. So the inhale breath can be the sense of a strong reach. And when you exhale, you can let that reach go a little bit. Let the limbs coil gently back in. Inhaling the thigh and the arm lengthen away from one another. And just seeing, is this idea of expanding into one side of the chest, is that possible? Great. Exhale, slowly come back to the center. Take your arm down. Okay, now take a hold of the sides of your blanket. Pick your pelvis up and slide the blanket so that it's under your lower back. If this is uncomfortable for any reason, you'll keep the blanket a little bit more underneath your pelvis. So the blanket's under your lumbar spine and your pelvis is draping towards the floor. You're allowing that lumbar arch. And just pause here. Give it a moment for the pelvis to really settle. If you sit a lot during the day, most people that sit a lot during the day, the lumbar curve is maybe not there so much anymore. And we want the lumbar curve to be intact. Take a couple belly breaths here. This idea of a tubular pressure that you can bring to both the low back and the abdomen area. And then just the amount that, you know, feels easy, begin to tip your sitting bones even more towards the floor. So you're letting the lower back really arch over the blanket as if you want to bring the sitting bones to the floor. And it kind of depends on how big your blanket is. Maybe your sitting bones can get to the floor. So you're going to bring the sitting bones a little towards the floor and then let that go. And this is a pretty small little rocking movement. Bring the sitting bones a little towards the floor and release. Good. Okay. Try that with just one sitting bone, just your right sitting bone, just like you're pointing the right sitting bone and pulling the right sitting bone to the floor and let it go. Keep the breath really full in your belly. We're just continuing to mobilize the lower back. Notice if there's any kind of fighting that the lower back muscles are doing with you. I would just suggest to go smaller, just make it a little bit more simple if that's happening. And then shift to your left sitting bone. So just your left sitting bone. You're pulling the left sitting bone towards the floor and then letting it go. And the low back is arching, draping over the roller, and it's supported. Really let it feel the support of the roller. Good. Okay, pause there. Stay on the roller like this, but pick up your right foot, bring your right knee towards your chest. And the deeper that you bring the right knee towards the chest, the more your pelvis will start to lift and come with it. And you can let that happen. This might feel like a nice relief from the arching of the low back. So allow your elbows to bend, using your hands to pull your right knee in. Good. Now keep your hands where they're at, but lengthen your arms and pull your sitting bones towards the floor. And you can, it'll kind of pull your leg and your whole self with. And then use your hands and your arms, pull your right knee towards your chest and your pelvis will lift. So we'll go back and forth like that a few times. So your sitting bones pull towards the floor and your arms straighten. And then you bring your knee towards the chest. That's right, exactly. So it's that same kind of rocking of the pelvis. Now we're just getting the leg involved. Okay, bring the right foot down, just switch legs, take your left knee in. Start by hugging your left knee in towards the chest. Let the pelvis follow the leg. Maintain the belly breath inhalation, even though it's harder to expand because your left leg is there and the blanket is right there. Slowly straighten your arms, tip your pelvis so the sitting bones come towards the floor. Bend your elbows, bring the knee towards the chest. And straighten the arms, bring the sitting bones towards the floor. And just again, find this rocking action. It should feel somewhat therapeutic for this low back space. So making it smaller if you need to. You might even feel that your head is being pulled when your arms straighten and your sitting bones tip towards the floor. Good. Lower that left foot down. Take a hold of the sides of the blanket. Lift your pelvis up. Slide the blanket all the way towards your feet so you can bring your pelvis down. And then bring both knees in towards your chest. Good. Take a little roll or rock side to side. And roll all the way to one side. We're going to stay with this blanket for one more thing. So we're going to bring it underneath the upper back. And it might be kind of large. But we'll continue to support the head with the hands. So the blanket is right across mid-thoracic. Bring the hands behind the head and let the head drop back so that your pelvis, the tail, stays on the floor. And from the tail right away, you begin that full backbend arch over the blanket, allowing your head to be lower than your heart. And come back to finding a more evenly spread inhale. A slight expansion of the belly, as well as an expansion into your ribs and chest. Giving this pose just a little bit of time, keeping it simple while we're here. Soften your jaw. See if you can let the weight of your head truly drop into the support of your hands. Now, if you can bring your head to the floor, do that. Bring your arms alongside your ears so the arms are straight. Rotate your arms so that the palms face towards the floor as much as you can. Moving the arms into external rotation. And notice if you're really fighting for that external rotation at your wrist or in the forearm. See if you can look for it in your shoulder, upper arm bone area. And if the palms of the hands meet the floor, you can press down into the floor. Feel the stretch across, up the lines of the chest. Great. And then just start to soften your arms. You can tip your knees to one side and roll the rest of yourself to that side to come off of the roller. Okay, go ahead and put that roller aside. And if you need the blanket for support for your knees, you can just unroll and grab one of those blankets for your knees. Come on up to your hands and your knees. Okay, actually grab your block right away. We're gonna take a hold of the block with its wide width. So first start with your palms on the block. The block is on its wide width and your forearms are on the floor. Now rotate your arms so your palms face up. So the pinky fingers are just near the block. And don't push towards the block at all. Right now the block is just there to kind of maintain this space. Actually see if you can bring the thumb mound area towards the floor, like the back of the thumb. And pull that towards the floor. Maintain that, walk your knees back a few inches and start to take your pelvis back towards a dog in prayer. Now, you might not be able to go quite as far because our arms are in this deeper external rotation. So don't push anything. I'd rather have you try to maintain the external rotation and not get your chest or your head to the floor. Well, your chest probably won't meet the floor anyways, but don't worry too much about dropping your chest as much as you might normally in dog and prayer. Focus a bit more on that rotation of the arms. Good. Walk your knees forward. Okay, grab your strap. You have that loop in your strap. You're going to make the loop so it's about as wide as your shoulders. And you'll put the strap around your forearms, close to your wrist. And come to a similar position where your forearms are on the floor and your palms are facing up. This time, though, you get to push out into the strap. And that pushing out, the palms are up, forearms are parallel, shoulder distance, push out into the strap. Try not to let your elbows widen any wider than your wrists are. Now take your right leg back, turn the right toes under, and take your left leg back so that you're in plank pose. See if you can continue to push out into the strap with the forearms. Good, lower belly engages. Remember last week we worked with the block behind the head. So notice if you've dropped your head and your chin's toward your chest. Could you imagine the space behind the head, lift up into it a little bit? That's right, keeping the alignment through the neck. If you've lost the push out into the strap, bring it back. Good. Slowly lower your knees down. Turn your palms down. You can slide your hands out of the strap and just reach back to child's pose for a moment. Good. Inhale to your hands and your knees and exhale back to downward facing dog. So in down dog, our palms are facing down for a very good reason. Could you just flip only your right palm up? Okay, so more weight is in your left hand. Flip your right palm up. So, and feel what that does to your upper arm bone, how it's externally rotating it. So you wanna keep that rotation up there in the upper arm bone, but flip your right palm back down. And then just do the same thing on the left side, flip the left palm up. Feel that spiraling of the upper arm bone. Try to keep it and bring your left palm back down so that now you can have both hands pushing the floor down and forward. Pressurize the pads of the fingers. Feel your waist moving up and back. Okay, now remember when that big bolster was underneath the lumbar? For those with tight hamstrings and kind of a tucked under tail, if that's a little bit of your pattern, see if you can have that somatic memory, the memory of the bolster in the lumbar, and that bringing that lumbar curve a little bit back into this pose. And yeah, that's right. So it's that same action of lifting the sitting bones that I'm constantly saying, lift the sitting bones, lift the sitting bones, tip the pelvis. It's all in relation to the low back as well. Great. Look forward. Walk your feet forward up to the top of the mat. And go ahead and widen your feet so they are as wide as your mat. Keep the feet parallel. Holding forward, bring your hands to the outsides of your feet. It could be fingertips on the floor, or it could be entire palm, if that's possible. Your hands are wider than the feet. The head is dropping. Bend your elbows out to the side as much as you can, and see if you can lift your shoulders up away from the ears. Sides of the neck are long, top of the head is hanging. Good, bring your hands back underneath you so they're more in front of you, underneath your chest, planting the hands, and step your feet back to down dog. Good. Look for the external rotation in the upper arm bones. So you can have a tiny bend in your elbows. The upper arm bones are rolling or rotating to turn the elbow pit towards the ceiling. Shoulder blades widen. Sides of the waist are lifting up and back. And you're looking for that little curve in the low back. Good. Inhale, lift the heels. Look forward. Step or take a light little hop of the feet forward. Bring your feet all the way together this time. So inner edges of the feet touch. Fingertips or palms can be down on the floor. Finding your Uttanasana, dropping the head. From here, take your left leg up and back. So your left leg is parallel with the floor. So the legs are in a 90 degree angle with one another. Your right leg and your torso are still in Uttanasana. Pump up your right hip, pressurize or lift the right hip. So you're feeling like you're as tall as you can be on the right hip area instead of sinking into that joint. That's right. And the back of the left leg is long. Good. As you exhale, you may feel the right side of the low belly doming upward to help that lift of the right hip. Good. Bring the left foot down next to the right foot and just take a breath and come to a flat back for a moment, just to let your nervous system know you won't be upside down forever. Breathe here. You're always welcome to do that if we're upside down for a long time. You feel the blood rushing. There's a lot of checks and balances in the nervous system, though, to keep too much blood coming in there to the brain. Okay, second side. So Uttanasana, lift your right leg up and back so it's parallel with the floor. As much as you can, keep the head dropping, back of the neck long. Activate through your left leg. So you lift as tall as you can be on the left hip. Pumping the left hip up, using the exhale to draw the left side of the belly up, doming it upward. Good. Exhale, the right foot down next to the left foot. Take a breath in, come up towards a flat back. Exhale and fold forward. Again, inhale to flat back, bring your hands all the way up to your hips. Stay here, exhale. Inhale, come all the way up to stand. All right, grab your strap. And you could just kind of make that loop a little smaller again. We'll come back to the shoulder width loop. Take your strap so that it is right behind your back. And it's going to come all the way up underneath your armpits. So it's crossing the thoracic spine. So the loop can just be real small at the end of your strap. Hold onto the strap right in front of your armpits. Look forward out at the horizon. Just feel Tadasana. Slide your hands down the strap until your arms are almost straight. Inhale, lengthen the arms overhead and give a little pull on the strap. Let the strap support this sensation of lifting the ribs out of your waist. Everything from the ribs down, so from your waist down basically, can you feel that is heavy? Your pelvis, legs, and feet belong to the earth. Your tail is dropping. But as you pull the strap up, the ribs slide up off the low back and off the waist. Great. And then just notice if your tendency is to tuck the tail under, just know that that lower back lumbar curve, that lumbar curve is not there anymore. And we want some of that natural curve to always be present. Good. One more breath in here. Keeping this simple. And gently release the arms down, set the strap down. Keep the gaze forward. Take a breath in, sweep the arms wide and up. Look upward towards the thumbs. As you exhale, fold forward, widen the arms, Uttanasana. Breathe in, lengthen to a long flat back. Exhale, plant your hands, step both feet back to downward facing dog. I take a moment here to find your full length. Look for the external rotation in the arms. The memory of the bolster behind the low back. Thigh bones pressing back. Good. Inhale, come forward to plank and all the way onto your belly. Untuck the toes. Take a breath in, come up to small cobra. Inhale,
If you're ready for it, you can continue to lengthen the arms towards medium or a higher cobra, keeping the shoulder blades rooted. Yeah, and that bolster under the low back that we started with was a good preparation for a cobra pose. Nice, everyone. Exhale, bring the tip of the nose down towards the floor, push to plank or knees, and from there back to down dog. Okay, in down dog, bring your feet together. Inhale your right leg up and back. Find that 90-degree angle with the two legs. And lift the outer left hip as high as you can. So we'll keep the legs, the pelvis in neutral for right now. So you can actually think about hugging your inner legs towards one another and dropping the outer right hip as you try to lift the outer left hip. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, take a big step forward, right foot between the hands, drop your back knee down. Grab that strap. Take it behind your back, like we just had. Pad up your back knee if you need to. So you're welcome to shift the pelvis forward if that feels appropriate for you. Slide your hands forward and inhale the arms up. Good, chest is coming forward. You can use the strap across the back to help you feel right there where the strap is crossing the spine. Bring that area of the spine deeper into you to move the chest forward. And pulling the strap up, taking the arms back, allowing the back of the head to move back. So it's almost as if the tail and the back of the head went to meet each other back behind you. Great. Exhale, lower, strap down, plant your hands, press back to down dog. And bring your feet together. So find the down dog of your dreams, this length through your side body, both thigh bones reaching back, pelvis is high. And from there, just shift your weight into your right leg, float your left leg up, but keep your pelvis neutral, right? So we're not tipping, opening the left hip yet. And try to pump up the right hip crease. Outer right hip is as high as it can get. Great. Exhale, take a big step forward between the hands. Lower your knee and support it as you need to. Grab your strap. Bring that strap behind the back. Hold the strap in front of the armpits. Slide the hands forward. Inhale the arms up. Where the strap crosses your spine, take that area forward. Move the arm bones back. The back of your head is trying to reach your tail. Good, and your tail, nice, is very interested in the back of your head. Exhale, look forward, release your arms down, set the strap down, plant the hands, press back to down dog. Great. Go ahead and lower your knees down, come to child's pose. Yeah, give your arms a break because we're going to come back to using the arms. So just take a moment in child's pose. Okay, when you're ready to do a little bit more, grab your strap and you're going to make that loop like it was before, going back and forth so that it's about as wide as your shoulders. You're going to put the loop around your forearms near your wrists. Forearms come to the floor. So you don't want it too narrow. You don't want it more narrow than your shoulders. And you don't want it too much wider than your shoulders, for sure. So you're really trying to gauge your shoulder distance, shoulder width. Turn your palms so they face up. Yeah, and just look with your own eyes. Are your elbows wider than your wrists? And if so, see if you can remedy that by kind of walking bit by bit your elbows a little closer towards one another. Press out into the strap. And you should start to just, we're just isometrically pressing out into the strap. Feeling something start to turn on and rotator. Cuff around your arm area in your upper back. And get a sense that your chest is moving a little bit more broad, a little widening of the chest. Okay, from here, turn your toes under and reach back towards forearm dog. And notice if pretty immediately you're no longer pushing out into the strap. So you might move your pelvis back quite slowly and see if you can maintain that push out into the strap. Great, your thigh bones keep pressing back just like they would in down dog. Look for the lumbar curve while you're here. That may mean you need to bend your knees a little. Great, and slowly lower your knees down. Release your hands from the strap. Okay, we'll give that a little break again. Grab your two blocks. We're very prop heavy today. Okay, you're gonna take your two blocks and make a little stack of them out in front to the right. Your right foot's gonna go up there. So there's not a super graceful way to get there. So I put my hands down and climb that right foot up. Okay, so back knee will be on the floor, so please pad that back knee as you need. So we're back in this lunge position. You can have a slightly shorter stance so that as you take your pelvis forward, it's pretty strong fold of the right knee. Yep, that's right. And then just notice again, if your tendency is that your tail's tucking in towards the body, just see if you can let it free it up a little bit. And inhale your left arm high. Remember when we are breathing into one side of the chest? Can you focus your inhale into the left side of your chest to give a little bit more length of that left arm? Good, bring your right thumb to your right hip crease. Begin to turn to the right, belly turns to the right. Hook the left elbow to the outside of your right thigh. You can turn your left palm so it faces away from you. Using the elbow on the leg, if that's not possible, you can just take your hand on the leg. Exactly. It's slightly congested position in some ways. And gently turning the belly to the right. Great. Think about your right shoulder blade pulling a little bit towards the spine to help the right side of the chest keep turning. Yeah. Breathe, soften the neck. Okay, slowly release out of the twist. Push your pelvis back. hands come to the floor. Take the right foot off of that block and just kind of crawl yourself behind so your hands are behind the block so you can press back to down dog for a moment. Great, bring your knees down, move the blocks over to the left. As graceful as you can, hands to the floor, step that left foot up onto the block. Great, shifting your pelvis forward. Left thumb can come into that hip crease area right away. Inhale the right arm high. Before we twist, stay here for at least two breaths. Seeing if it's possible, even just directing your attention into the right side of your chest, imagining that you're inflating the right side of your chest into armpit space behind your right collarbone, and see if that moves your right arm a little bit longer. Good. Begin to twist to the left. Bring the right elbow to the outside of the left thigh. Turn your right palm so it faces away from you. So this right shoulder blade is going to widen away from the spine. The left shoulder blade doesn't need to do that. The left shoulder blade can hug a little towards the spine. And that action is actually going to help turn the upper thoracic a little bit more. So you can hug the left elbow back and feel the left shoulder blade draw inward towards the spine. Good. Slowly release that. Hands to the floor. Take your pelvis back. Take that left foot off of that tall block set up. Go ahead and move your blocks aside. Plant your hands and press back to dog pose. Good. Bring your knees down. Slowly come onto your belly. Take your hands back behind you. Interlace the fingers. If that's not possible, grab a strap. Draw the elbows towards one another. Now, as your elbows come towards one another and the arm bones come towards one another, did your shoulder blades crawl up into your neck? So at the same time that you're hugging your arms together, slide the shoulder blades down away from the ears and see if that action can start to lift your collarbones, gently lifting your head. Great. Begin to lift your long legs. And notice if lifting the legs, which is bringing in more of the spine into the back bend, does that actually make it easier for you to lift your shoulders and your head? Can you lift your shoulders and your head a bit more now that the whole spine is congruent and as the whole spine is participating in the back bend? Good. Exhale, lower down, release the clasp of the hands. Just bring your hands under your forehead. Take a couple belly breaths, swag the tail. We're going to do that one more time. So just take a moment to, free the head and the tail, roll the head, roll the pelvis. And then come to a stillness after all that wiggling, and forehead can just stay resting on the hands. And just imagine the length of your spine
the top of your spine is right behind your eyes. And just draw, it could just be a line that you draw down all the way to your tail. So that you have this, you're starting to get this proprioception of how long your spine is, how much space it takes up. And as we come into this second Shalabhasana pose, letting the entire spine be included in the back bend. So bring your hands back, interlace the fingers. Again, if you need to use a strap, do that. Draw the arm bones towards one another. Start to lift the collarbones and the head. Slowly lift the straight legs up. And as the legs lift, that starts to include the lower half of the spine into the back bend. Feel the back of your head wants to touch your tail. And your tail wants to touch your head. It's a bit harder one to feel right now because of the musculature of the legs. Good. Slowly lower down. Release your hands. Bring your hands under your forehead again. Take a belly breath. Expand into the low back.
Gently press yourself back. One last downward facing dog. And if you have a little bit more of a sense of that lumbar curve, just go with it here in your down dog. You can still look for traction in the spine, but feel if there's a little bit more tipping action that's possible in the pelvis. Okay, lower the knees down, swing your legs around. Let's come to the floor and make sure we neutralize out the back a little bit more before we rest. So you've made it more or less. Okay, you're on your back. Bring your right knee in. Interlace your fingers, the top of the right shin. Straighten your arms and push your shin into your hands. Continual pressure of the shin into the hands, isometric press. Allow your lower back to spread, melt into the floor. Breathe in, release the right leg, bring the right foot down. Take a hold of your left knee at the top of the shin. Straighten both arms. Exhale, push the shin into the hands. And allow your lower back to widen and flatten towards the floor. A good amount of strength pushing the shin to the hands. Great. Now soften that pressure of the knee into the hands and cross your left thigh over your right. Pick up your right foot and just take a hold of both knees in a kind of a soft Gomukhasana position. And let your hands move your knees in small circles so that you feel pressure circling around the perimeter of your sacrum.
Great. Stay with the legs crossed like this. Just bring your right foot back to the floor. Move the arms out to a T shape, palms up. Shift your pelvis slightly over to the left. Drop your knees over to the right. And think of directing your knees slightly upward towards your right elbow. Allowing the squeeze that happens during the twist to give a little bit more attention, energy in a different way to your lower back. Breathe in and think of expanding your belly so that the diaphragm presses downward, creating the tubular core action to support the low back and the belly. Good. Bring your knees back to the center and cross the legs. Just shift your pelvis so it's in the middle. And cross your right thigh over your left. Take a hold of your two knees so you're in this more soft, gentle gomukhasana, and start to make small circles with your knees. Great. Bring your left foot back to the floor, but keep the right leg crossed, arms out to the side. So shifting your pelvis a little to the right, that just allows our spine to stay in its axial length once we go into the twist. So the legs will tip to the left. If it's helpful for you to imagine that as you breathe in, the diaphragm, you could think of it more like a plate, like it's an umbrella shape that flattens and pushes towards your pelvis, and it squishes the belly organs, the digestive organs. You know, it's like when somebody comes and gives you a big hug, and that compression can feel so nice. You're just doing that to your belly organs when you move the diaphragm down very purposefully. Good. Slowly bring your knees back to the center. Uncross that right leg. Shift your pelvis so it's in the middle. Just do a very gentle windshield wipe action of your knees side to side. And bring your knees to the middle. Keep the feet standing. Take a hold of the sides of your mat. Your arms are down alongside the body. As we did at the beginning of class here, you're going to push the mat down or away from your head, and then let that go and feel the little bounce back, and push and let it bounce back. And just do it a couple of times. Let your head respond. If you're interested in doing it quicker, It can be light and quick. It's just a little bit of effort from your hands, really. And it can move your whole self. Good. Let that all relax. So grab whatever you may need for Shavasana. If you still have that bigger rolled up blanket, you could slide that under your legs. We'll have a nice almost 10-minute Shavasana. So take your time to get quite comfortable. And I'm just going to start us off here while you're in Shavasana with a short reading from David White, who's a poet. So much of our life is spent thinking about what we must do in order to follow what we have been told is a successful path in life. Much of the reward we desire for ourselves through that success has to do with being seen and being recognized as someone to be admired. But our great artistic, contemplative, and religious traditions focus on the inner nature of this recognition, of seeing and admiring and being proud of one's own path of integrity and what we have become. This self-recognition does not take the form of self-praise, but of self-embodiment. It seems to be achieved more through a path of undoing rather than doing. Through a process of letting go of what is extraneous, of what takes enormous amounts of effort, and often what continues to make us unsettled and unhappy. Following this path or process of undoing, very much what I often think of yoga or a somatic practice is often filled with undoing. And particularly Shavasana. As the body, the nervous system becomes comfortable and familiar in this horizontal position, and you've been here long enough now that it might be getting the cues that you'll stay here for a little while. So the work of the muscles can slowly start to let go. Not fighting gravity, not needing
to push back in any way. As the floor, the earth, supports and holds you. Including the thoughts, including the activity of the mind. And just bring your attention to the palms of your hands, fingers, fingertips. So let your mind settle for a moment at your hands.
Gently start to curl the fingertips towards the palms, bending your knees, bringing your hands towards your belly. And when you're ready, roll to your side. Make your way up to a comfortable seat. Bringing the palms together. May you be free of inner and outer harm. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be healthy and strong. And may you care for yourself joyfully. Breath in, exhale. Namaste.
Are you enjoying this podcast? I've chosen to offer these audio recordings freely for over 15 years. I do this because research shows yoga, yoga nidra, and Feldenkrais to be valuable practices, those which I would like to share widely. Dana, the Buddhist practice of generosity, has always been a pillar of my business. And more generally, Dana is the inclination to give without expecting any form of repayment. It does, however, take a fair amount of time, effort, and cost to maintain and keep the podcasts available. If you feel you've benefited from what you've learned from these classes, then please do consider making a contribution towards the maintenance and upkeep of the classes. It will help ensure that I can continue to offer the podcast classes freely and keep generating new material. Give what you can, give what feels good. If it's too little, it won't feel good. If it's too much, it won't feel good. Links to support the show monetarily can be found in the show notes. And other ways to give include sharing the podcast with others, leaving a 5-star rating and review, or just sending me an email with how the classes have affected you. Thanks so much.